Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
My prayer the whole week is that we would see transformation. There's no point in coming here every Sunday just to stay the same. Amen? God called us to leave from glory to glory. And my prayer is that this message, this moments of worship, just they bring us to the center of the heart of the Father. Amen? Have a privilege of speaking with you guys this morning. Pastor Sean is in my homeland, Brazil. It's actually super interesting. He's actually speaking right now, so I won't put it super loud, but he's speaking in Brasilia, Brazil's capital, so straight from Brazil's capital to Canada's capital. He's also going to be speaking this afternoon, so if you want to tune in, I'll post on our social media and KC Ottawa's Instagram. He's speaking at 4:30. Well, the session there starts at 4:30, which is 6:30 local time, but 4:30 our time. If you want to tune in this afternoon and see what God's doing in Brazil, you can also do so. But I was praying over what God wanted me to share this morning with you guys. And again, moments like this is just like I try to bring what the Lord has been speaking to my heart in this last season, and also to honor what God is doing to the whole body as Kingdom Culture. So as you've been hearing from Pastor Sean this past few weeks, talking about the word that he gave him late August last year, that is a season for us to wake up. It's time for us as a church to wake up. And it's a warring season. And there are things that have been coming our way to stop, and there will always be things that come our way to stop us from reaching the full potential that God created us to be. And I just want to encourage us to know the purpose, the influence, what we're called for. The church of God, we are called to disciple not a local church. We are called to disciple a city. We're called to cause city transformation. And the Lord has been putting in my heart, and there's a church in the Bible that is the church of Ephesus that had two letters written to it. Number one is very famous, letter to Paul, the book of Ephesus. It's one of my favorite books. It's probably, out of the books of the Bible, the one that I read the most. But in this church of Ephesus received two letters that we know through scriptures. They might have received more, but the ones that are accounted in scriptures are the letter from Paul and a letter from Jesus later in the book of Revelation. And I want to dive in deep into this letter to this church because I feel like there are things that we can apply that I have been applying to my own life, that I've been encouraged, that I've been challenged in my own life, that I also pray that they will be significant for us as Kingdom Culture in this season. Amen? So I want to read this letter to you. It's 7 verses, a short letter. It's not as big as the book of Ephesus. It says here, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, this is Jesus, and the one who walks amongst the 7 golden lampstands. So the lampstands would be the 7 churches that receive a letter from Jesus. The stars would be the pastors, the leaders of the church. Please know, back then, there wasn't like social media. This letter wasn't posted on social media. It was like, imagine a pastor reading the letter to the church that he was leading. So, I know your deeds and your labor and perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil people, and you've put those who call themselves apostles to the test, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured on account of my name, and you have not become weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember where you have fallen. and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and I'll remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. But you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. To the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will grant you to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I consider the church of Ephesus to be one of the most important churches that we can find in the Bible. It was a very significant church. Ephesus was the capital of Asia Minor. So it was a city that moved the world's economy back in the day. It was very well famous for its seaports. There was a lot of market businesses that took place. People from all over the world would come. There were a lot of exchanges. It's also famous by false gods, idolatry. It had the temple of Artemis or Diana, known as back in the day one of the seven wonders of the world back in that day. It was one of the biggest things that there was. And God had a plan to plant a church there. With what purpose? To influence, to cause change, to cause transformation. And you hear testimonies of books of witchcraft being burned on the streets, God moving and shaping the destiny of that city because of the church that was there. And I think that if we all were there back in the day, we'd probably want to be part of that church. Who wouldn't want to be part of a church where Apostle Paul was the founder and the pastor? It'd be a cool church to be a part of. And later they had another cool pastor, guy that I identify and also love his books in the Bible, Timothy. An amazing man of God, an example. You read his books and you find that he's also a great leader. And if you keep reading, you also and study deeper, another guy that was with Jesus, that also was a pastor of that church, was the Apostle John. And accounts suggest that he actually wrote the Gospel of John and the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, when he was pastoring the church of Ephesus. And even people would suggest that who was leading the women's ministry back at that church was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Why people suggest that? Because when at the cross, Jesus looked at John, he says, "Take care of my mom." And people said that he, of course, embraced and took care of the family. I won't go into too many details, but a lot of things, like people said that the cross was a big beam of wood. People would say that actually when they crucified, they would actually remove that beam that was actually the sustainer pillar of the house, a house where the person was going crucified was coming down. Anyways, long story, Jesus put in charge for John to take care and to look up for his mom. And she was probably involved in that church too. So would you guys consider a good church to be a part of? Yeah. I would say so as well. I would probably be part of that church. So anyways, that church had so many qualities. If you read all the seven letters to the churches, Ephesus is one of them that has the most qualities out of it. But also at the same time, so the church is being celebrated a lot. So you can imagine that pastor reading the letter to the church, wow, yes, we're cool, like we're persevere, we're fighting the good fight, we're standing strong, we're not accepting false teaching, false apostles that come here, we're standing strong. But then it comes a statement in verse 4 that says, "But I have this against you, you've left your first love." And don't know about you, we love to be celebrated, but not all the times we like criticisms, right? And we should pray to God to have that heart that is open to receive as much celebrations as criticisms, because those things will let it grow. Just don't let them get a grip of your hearts. Receive them, honor, and get better through them. It's like that heart of Teflon. It's not going to stick anything on it. So you're not like letting those celebrations become something you're proud of, and it changes your life. So anyways, that church had this against them, and I've been thinking about, what does it mean to lose our first love? We can question that. Like, I've questioned, you've seen moments in your life that you were passionate for Jesus. Throughout, I was praying, and God says this to me, leaving your first love doesn't necessarily mean leaving a place you were in life. But it means leaving behind a heart that you had. It's about the hearts. It's about the heart missing what was in the first place. When he says about your first love, it's not necessarily only. It could involve when you first get saved, you're pumped. I want to serve. I want to be involved. I want to do things for Jesus. That's also great, but it actually talks about something. It's leaving behind what is first in your life. And the enemy doesn't need you to stop believing God exists. The enemy doesn't need you to stop coming to church. The enemy doesn't need you to stop going to Connect Group, coming to a culture night. The only thing he needs you is to place God in a second place. That's the only strategy. Once God is not your priority anymore, he's not first in every area, he's not first in your work, he's not first in your family, he's not first, the enemy has been doing their job. And we have to constantly, and it's so easy after we experience moves from God, like the church of Ephesus did. It's so easy after you've been and God brought back to, I just celebrated this week my birthday, 38 years old. And God brought me back to remind me that I gave my life to Jesus, even though I grew up in a Christian home, but also went to a broken home. My both of my grandparents are pastors. But I gave my life, and I consider my life, my decision to God to be when I was 13 years old. That year was a pivotal year in my life. And it has been 25 years since I'm a Christian. That's a lot. That's way more being a Christian than not a Christian in my life. So weighing those two. But I have to look back at moments and God begin to challenge my life. It's easy to let some things you've seen in the kingdom, they cannot be as common to you. You gotta always keep your heart in check, your heart in the right place. And again, 25 years, it's not that I've lived 25 years of glory. I had many moments where I struggled, where I had things that came my way and challenged my faith, challenged where I was standing with God. And this is like the journey of anybody that has been walking, that you do life with ministry, you see mistakes, you see things that are wrong, you go, especially when you work. I worked with two churches in Brazil. I've been 7 years in Canada this August working with Kingdom Culture. So you know the inside, it's way more like it's like in your own family. When you get to know your spouse or your parents, you know their flaws, you know what's good, the qualities. But it's your decision to keep loving and to believe that Jesus has a bride that he loves. He wants to see the bride transformed. And he wants to see the bride influence the kingdom. Amen? So God began to challenge me in this warring season that we're in. That is my title of my message today. It's time to war for our first love. If the church doesn't wake up for this next season, we will miss the boat. It's like the scene of Achan that Pastor Sean mentioned last year. It's a responsibility that is on everybody. We can say as much as possible from the stage, but God is calling each of us, and we are much stronger when the whole body responds and say, man, I want to be in my first love with Jesus. I want to burn in passion for Jesus. And I think that's what the enemy is going to try to challenge you, is to lose your passion. How many of you agree that we do some crazy things when we're in love, right? Have you done some crazy things? Yep. Been there, done that. There's two areas of my life that I love so much. One of them is soccer. I'm a big fan of soccer. I love my team. It's called São Paulo. It's the best team in the world. Cola, then Arsenal, right after São Paulo, okay? Respect for. But anyways, big soccer fan. 2 years ago, I think, yeah. My team hasn't been going through a good season. I still love them. I still support them. They qualified to a final game in Argentina. So we're playing against one rival there for a South American Cup. And it's been almost 10 years that we haven't made to a final game, which is a lot. longer than we used to, because we used to be living in glory days in the past. But anyways, in Brazil, when I was still part of my church, I used to have season tickets. I would go to every single game, home game. I love soccer, okay? I can't stress that enough. So I found out about this game, and I started texting some people in Canada, hey, maybe you should go. It was crazy. It would be like a short trip. But I said, I want to be there. Like, man, it's been a while since our team has made it. But it was challenging getting, because it wasn't like a straight flight to São Paulo is 10 hours, then a flight to Argentina, another 3 hours. This game was in the city, very outskirts of Argentina. Was another. There wasn't any flights because they were all booked off. So I had to take a bus that was 12 hours long on top of it. So I made the total amount. Some it would take me 32 hours leaving my place to drive to Montreal, pick up a flight, and I decided to go because I love soccer. Here's a quick video, and I actually made to the national TV in Brazil. They were actually trying to find who came the farthest from that game. I think there was me and another guy from North America, but anyways, there's like a... I made a big flag
Eduardo,
from Canada.
Diretamente de Ottawa do Canadá, capital do Canadá para Córdoba.
Você veio do Canadá,
representing Ottawa.
Aqui, ó, bandeira do Canadá, Ottawa.
You guys should all experience a soccer game. This is how we should worship in church. Anyways, that's it for the video. This is the experience. This is all about being, watching a game from stadiums, nothing than watching a game from TV. But anyway, I love this. Sad story, my team lost. It's fine. Last year, we got redemption and we won another cup. But anyways, we do some crazy, stupid things when we love. Also, you can imagine that it wasn't a very cheap trip, finding booking tickets last minute. But thank God for provisions for brothers in Jesus. We had an individual in this church selling a truck. God gave me a strategy to sell, to buy his truck and to sell for more. And God provided the funds. Thank you, Matt. He was blessed. I was blessed. Anyways, but we do crazy things when we love. And we don't think of like all the circumstances, everything that we're going to face. On the way back to that game, it was super late. I had to catch another bus back to the capital. And like the road back when your team loses is not the greatest. I bought like a quick McDonald's on the way out, and ice cream melted and fell on my pants. I had all, it wasn't fun at all. And you start thinking, why did I come? But anyways, I will never forget this experience, a story to tell my children, grandchildren, and everybody in my family. But you do crazy things when you're in love. And I find that those are the things that I've done some crazy things for Jesus too. Going to radical places where he called me without putting all the math together, all the numbers together. Is this going to financially work for me? Is this going to make sense? And I think that the life that God invites us to live in the kingdom is to be in love for Jesus. When you get invited to serve, you're not thinking, oh, it's going to be inconvenient to me. I'm going to have to wake up early on Sunday mornings. Man, our teams rocks, our logistics team rock. Matt has been a significant part of this team. I remember when we got here, back at Carlton, they were driving to storage during the winter, 4:30 in the morning to unmelt any frozen locks in the trailer to drive the trailer so that we can have church. And this is like, this is passion for Jesus. This is passion for his kingdom. And God invites us not to lose this because we see the value that which will be people being transformed. Amen? So if Jesus is not first in our lives, we got to acknowledge that someone else or something else is ruling our lives. Our first love is not there when we find out this genuine acts of love, the coming to worship, it become an obligation versus something we get to do. And I believe that our lives with God is not, we're not called to live on autopilot or cruise control. You know, you just set something there and you just keep going. No. God is inviting you to a life that he wants to. And something that I love about the Ephesians church that they said, in a verse here, it mentions that they were a hard group. Hard-working group of believers. And when I think of our team, I also see that. We are, man, our crew is a hard-working crew. Our team works hard to make this happen. If you're just joining, if this is your first time, and we have been working hard. And as I look to the seven years that I've been here in Kingdom Culture and the years before by chatting with our lead pastors, Pastor Michelle and Pastor Sean, I know that they've worked hard for us to have this place. And this was an amazing characteristic of that church in Ephesus. And I begin to ask, God, let us not be like that church and that leaves the first love, that forgets the why we do these things. And I was thinking, what are some things that robbed us, our hearts, from the first love, that take us from that first love? And God brought to me to the very well-known passage of the seeds, and I want to read those verses to you. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell by stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth on earth. But when sun was up, and they were scorched because they had no roots in them. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded the crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. I love that it ends the same way he ends the letter to the churches. To the one who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And I feel there's a connection between those two passages. For the three things that I want to bring us this morning quickly, and then we're going to go back into worship, and I believe that God is going to awaken the first love. If you feel like there are areas of your life that have been robbed from that first love, I really believe Holy Spirit is here today to, like Ben was worshiping and declaring over us, to let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow areas, blow things that have been robbing, distractions that have been robbing us from receiving his love. Number one is leaving with sin or in sin. Something that I haven't realized, never thought of it, and I came to realize this week is actually leaving your first love, according to the text in the letter of Ephesus, is a sin. Why? Because it says in Revelation 2:5, therefore remember where you have fallen and repent. And then it says in the verse, at the end of the verse, unless you repent. So it is a sin. But what I want to propose to you is that not only it's our sin, but sometimes can be something else. Matthew 24:12 says, sin in the last times, some verse says, in the last times, in the last days, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. This verse always challenged me. Especially as growing up, when I got saved, the two guys that brought me to Jesus, I see their lifestyle today, they're not with Jesus. And my prayer was, man, Jesus, don't let, like, first bring them back to your love, but also don't let my heart's go cold towards you, towards the things that you have. And one of the things and challenges with that is that sometimes what robs us from our first love is not our sin. It's not something you're doing. But you let the environment that you're in, your sin is becoming common. You're accepting some things that back in the day made your heart cry, moved you, they don't play any effect on you. And this is very problematic. You begin to become used to some things. Like when you hear about like abortion becoming more and more common nowadays, and you accept the fact there's nothing that happens in your spirit. You just hear the news. You see this is happening in public education, and you're just accepting what is happening nowadays, and nothing happens to you, then it's a sign that you're not tolerating, like you're tolerating, beginning to tolerate some things, and you're opening a door in your hearts. You're tolerating some friendships that God called you there, but maybe he called that to be an influence and not to be influenced. And I feel like the biggest challenge is really being and always remembering that God called us, like I was saying, to disciple the world and not be discipled by them. But also God called us to any place that he put us to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. We are called to set the temperature in the room. We're called to set, hey, this is what Holy Spirit is doing, and not be moved and maybe now education is like this. This, like, I don't know what does to your hearts, but when you, especially now that we have kids and we're seeing how the school system it is, things that are being taught in the school system, if that doesn't move your hearts and that doesn't create anything in your heart, something is definitely wrong. And I think in Matthew 13:9 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatch away what was sown in his heart. This is sin for me because it allows you to lose that grid from what's right and wrong. You're blind. You're becoming blind. So you don't even acknowledge, and you will see that some other soils you acknowledge as the word of God. But this, you've lost your senses here. And when I say this, I'm not saying all this to criticize here. Maybe you came here in a way, living in addiction. And I'm not saying that, because what I'm saying is that everybody's welcome to come here as they are. But they can't remain the same way as you walked into this place. Because a life with Jesus is a life of transformation, of being transformed every day. It's from glory to glory. God didn't call you into his kingdom for you to remain the same way you walked in. So come as you are. You are accepted. You're welcome. Any struggles you might have in your life. But accept that there is a process that is going to take place. Sin cannot be your reality no longer. Amen? So this is number one thing that I believe that causes us to start to lose that first love. Number two, lack of depth. Matthew 13, 20 and 21 says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. You come to church, you're excited, you got the word in, but yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And I believe that something that I love, the statement that I heard this week is, there are messages that were good for you that brought you to the kingdom, but they won't sustain you through the journey. There are some things that you're going to hear Sunday that are going to feed your faith, but they won't sustain you the long term. If church is your only source of hearing the word of God, of spending time with God, you might want to reevaluate that. If all you get for worship in your week is the 30 minutes, 40 minutes that we worship here every Sunday, man, something is not aligned. Something is not well with you. And we got to understand that and make our relationship with our Father our priority. We are not called to come here on church on Sunday to be filled. It would be way awesome, especially for the band, they know this, to worship with people that are overflowing. They're not expecting just coming with empty tanks. No, but they're just so full. On the way here, driving to church, they're like Holy Ghost, already like putting on the track of the morning, saying, just Holy Ghost, just fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. The atmosphere is so different. We tasted this in the past season by adding our pre-experience worship and prayer. We begin to shift things early. Maybe some of our team didn't come as equipped in the morning. It's an opportunity for us to fill this house with worship, fill this auditorium with words of worship and declaring the presence of God. So I want to encourage you to go deep. And I think that nowadays we don't want to go deep. Like a part of our generation just want things fast, but they're not profound. You don't get to know. You want to quickly know, oh, cool, check it out, this guy on social media. You hear he has like a 40-minute video and a 1-minute video. You want to watch that short video. You don't want to stick through the whole process. We don't like naturally, we won't choose what is profound because it's going to hurt once you start digging deep. You're going to find some stones in the ground. You're going to find some challenges your way. And having roots is so, they might not look at first as important, but let me tell you, one crisis hits, you see the importance of having roots. When you lose that job, you lose something that was precious to you because you didn't have any roots, what's your first response? Oh, you're going to blame the church. You're going to blame the pastor. Oh, he didn't teach me enough. No, you're responsible for your own journey with God. As I am responsible, you're responsible for your own journey with God. And I want to encourage us to go deep, church. For us to fight, I want to go deep in God. I want to know. I want to experience. Because let me tell you, it's moments that you have in God that will sustain you in the journey. The most powerful Sundays you remember in your life, conferences you attend to, I can guarantee that is the experience that you had with God. It's the moment you felt the embrace of His presence that are going to shift and transform your life. Number three, lack of processes. Now he who receives seed among the thorn is he who hears the word and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Another thing that I want to challenge us is to also allow, in the process of getting deep, allow people and embrace the whole process. We have a temptation, which is always to take shortcuts. Once I heard the statement from Jason Upton, I never forgot, bridges are man-made. God intended us to have valley moments and mountain moments. There are important things you learn in the valley that you got to embrace that process. You cannot have shortcuts. If you do, man, and let me tell you, there will be moments in your life that you're going to have no clue why you're going through what you're going through. I was telling, I think, this someone like Tuesday in a Connect group, like when I got sent through my work to China for 3 months to be working in factories, I say, what am I doing here? Why am I so, like, I felt so lonely that season, but I didn't understand in the moments what that was preparing me for. And let me tell you, there is a direct connection. I won't go into all the details, but because I've been through China, that brought me here to Canada today. And you cannot, don't despise anything you're going through in life. Any processes in your life. God has a plan. He's looking from above, so He knows everything you're going through. But people want to quit. They don't want to give up. Oh, it's too hard. My boss is too mean. Look at this guy. Embrace. In this season, we are focusing as a church, Pastor Sean said this last week, or 2 weeks ago, in discipleship. Man, you wanted to be Jesus' disciple, you got to pick up your cross and follow Him. He didn't promise an easy journey. You got to deny yourselves, deny some of your wills. Learn to receive criticism. Learn to receive exhortation. Learn to be changed. And this is what I want to invite us as a church to position ourselves to. I would love to see the day that we have, I don't know, like almost anybody can host a Connect group here. You're all called to be disciple and to disciple others. You got two people, you create with three of you, you create a Connect group. You're discipling people. So be disciple in this season. If right now in your life you have no one discipling you, I want to encourage you today to maybe try to find a Connect group for you. There I can guarantee there will be someone that will disciple you, that will train you, that will encourage and to walk towards the purpose that God called us to walk. We can be moved by needs. We can be moved by some things, but God invites us in His kingdom to be moved by purpose in this season. He has a purpose. He has a plan for you. He has a calling for your life. And I believe it's time for us to shut off any distractions. Success is not the idea of success that you see on social media today. You keep like scrolling your phone and seeing people in beautiful places and in vacation. This is not their reality. It's maybe a moment that they're going through. Well, everybody deserves that. But I'm saying, like, this is not your definition of success. God has the right definition of success for you. And I want to encourage you in this season to go dig for yourself, to embrace the process, to thank God in the midst of it. I always think of the people of Israel in their journey to Promised Land. They had a Promised Land. It was going to be there. What postponed that journey was the heart not being thankful and kept complaining throughout the journey. So I want to encourage us to really embrace, like more than myself, you know areas of your life that need to go back into that place. Say, God, I don't want shortcuts anymore. This thing in my life, it's not working. I'm tired of fighting through the same addiction. I'm tired of fighting through the same thing over the last 5 years, man. 10 years, however long you feel like you're stuck. And I believe Holy Spirit is here today, and He wants to move, and He wants to bring your heart back to that first love. Amen? I want to invite the worship team to come back up here. As we close, I just want to encourage you, like, one of the things that in process is the most important is trusting God. And the best definition, if you didn't receive, you were distracted the whole morning, hear this out. I want to give you one definition for you to take in your life of trusting God. Trusting God means allowing Him to explain everything after to you. Trust His word, walk in what He called you to walk, and allow Him to explain it after. This is trusting God. If you want to embrace any process in your life, have that trust. He has the best interest. He is a good father. So what is our response in this season? I want to encourage us. Therefore, Revelations 2:5, therefore remember where you have fallen and repent. And do the deeds you did at first. I want to read one chapter that this week God brought to my heart that I believe is a key for us, and we're going to have our ministry team here up. But I'm really believing there's a fresh baptism of God's love in this morning, that He wants to take us back to that place, to be in love for Him. Jeremiah 2 says, God's message came to me, is in the Message translation. I went like this, get out in the streets and call to Jerusalem. God's message. I remember your youthful loyalty, our love as newlyweds. You stayed with me through the wilderness years, stuck with me through all the hard places. Israel was God's holy choice and the pick of the crop. Anyone who laid a hand on her would soon wish he hadn't. There are four things in this passage here that call my attention. Number one, God is reminding us of our affection, our loyalty. Remember your youthful loyalty. Remember the first days in the kingdom where you were sitting in your room after that experience and just crying out, God, Jesus, you changed my life. I want to learn more from you. I want to hear more from your presence. Remember those moments. Don't forget, those are precious moments that we have just to cry out before the presence of God, us and nobody else. Number two, our perseverance. We didn't give up quickly. You stay with me through the wilderness years. Let us be that generation, man, that we are not going to give up quick when it gets hard. We're not going to take the easy way out. When life gets real, we will stick to the end. Put that in your heart. I will stick until I see the promises of God in my life come to fruition. And then remember two things that God has for you. He chose you. Israel, this verse says, was God's holy choice, the pick of the crop. You are the pick of the crop. If you're here today, it's because God chose you. And you may be feeling rejected in your job, in your family, in that relationship. People are not giving you the attention you deserve. Let me tell you, there's a God that is looking into your heart. It says, I want you. My heart burns for you. Before you loved me, I loved you. He loved you first. We only loved Him because He loved us. He chose us. And That alone should be the reason for you to be burning in love. And number two, God protects you. No matter what comes your way, I love this. Anyone who laid a hand on her would soon wish she hadn't. This is a promise. Anybody that want to touch your life, that want to come against you, if you are in God, let me tell you, they wish they haven't. But God has promises for your life. Amen? Let's stand. One thing that I want to say is this chapter soon ends with one promise. That is like, who overcomes, I will grant him to eat from the tree of life. There's a dynamic here that is very important. When God created the earth, when he created paradise, men did not have to struggle for anything, for provision. When man was created, the provision was there. Sometimes we look like we run after.
We're good?
No.
Check.
We run after things.
Check.
But God, when he created paradise, his first plan, his original plan was, you don't have to strive. I will provide. I'm a good father. I don't expect Ethan to provide for my family. I'll, as a good father, provide for him, fight for him. What happened with the sin nature, man chose to be in control. Then God said, okay, the sweat of your labor, you're going to bring provision. But this is, we have Jesus brings us a new reality. And the new reality that Jesus brings in the new alliance we have with him is that I want to bring you back to that place that you can trust that I will provide everything to you. Eating from the tree of life is an opportunity that Jesus gives us every day. Say, hey, walk with me and you will never be thirsty again. You will never be hungry again. So this morning with all eyes closed, we're going to soon invite our team up here. And I want to open this floor this morning and believe that the presence of Holy Spirit is in this place. And if you feel like in this last season, man, your heart needs some of this fresh love, needs some of these to be on fire for God again, I believe that Holy Spirit is here, God is here, therefore his fire is here. There's a baptism of love that want to come and want to heat you this morning. So as we worship towards and sing this Holy Ghost again, believe that God will touch you. And the floor is open. If you need help, if you need somebody to pray for you here, don't be shy. This is your life you're fighting for. This is something you're fighting for, your life. Maybe you're here and you never said yes to Jesus, never said yes to walking into this life. These people can also pray for you here and allow you to have the best decision that you can have, which is saying yes to Jesus. Amen? So let's go back into worship, and we're going to worship in that reality. Just invite Holy Spirit to touch your life, to bring a fresh fire, to bring a fresh fire, to touch your life this morning. Holy Spirit wants to change you, to bring you back to that place where you're burning for Jesus.